CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, welcoming Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang and David Maxwell of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, a senior fellow. There's been an election in South Korea, and during Ukraine crisis, it is difficult to push aside the tragedy to see the election headlines. There's been an election in Colombia. There are elections all the time, but the election in Korea is a genuine surprise. David, a very good evening to you. Yoon wins. This is not the party that was expected to continue its conciliation policies in the Blue House. Yoon is the opposition to President Moon and his surrogate successor, President Lee. What happened? Have they assessed now, given this map of vote outside of the big cities, how Yoon won? Good evening to you, David.
Good evening. Well, I think they're still doing the forensics on it, and it does break the trend. Usually there are, since the time of Kim Il-sung, two liberals, two conservatives, two liberals. And now we've had a liberal and back to a conservative. So it breaks the trend of the past two decades. I think that, I think the entire time it has been very close. And I think that the population chose the lesser of two evils. Both have been marked by scandals from their wives. And of course, two very different outlooks. And I think that, President-elect Yoon, yes, by the skin of his teeth, he pulled it out. But it's really difficult to really determine why. Because it was so close. And so I think the experts are still doing the forensics.
Gordon, were you surprised by this election? I remember we previewed it, and the assumption was that the party of conciliation would have the upper hand, perhaps because over the years we'd listened to many voices say that the young people in South Korea don't mind the North Korean depredations. So was this a shock, Gordon?
I wouldn't say a shock, John, but I was surprised because I thought that in a close election, his opponent, Lee Jae-myung, the ruling party candidate, would win, largely because Moon Jae-in, the current president, I think committed election fraud in the National Assembly elections. And so I thought that in any close contest, the ruling party candidate would have won. And I'm very happy, of course, that Yoon Suk-yeol won, but I am a little bit surprised.
You have a question for David, Gordon.
Dave, we Americans and others around the world focus on the foreign policy differences of the two candidates. But it strikes me that this election was fought not so much on how they viewed North Korea and China, but how they looked at the domestic economy in South Korea. Is that your assessment, or do you think that foreign matters actually played a decisive role?
No, I think it was mostly domestic, like all elections, most all elections. I think, the real estate prices, the scandals, and the divide between young men and young women. I think that is really what I think was the biggest focus. There did seem to be, of course, the North Wind, the latest missile launches and the like. But I think really domestic issues, like always, drive it. But you're right. We focus on the foreign policy issues and how it looks to the alliance. But I think it was domestic issues were really the driving force.
China. It was part of the conversation for President-elect Yoon. What did he say, David? And was it anything new suspecting China of all kinds of bad acting?
He's taken a pretty tough line compared to Moon and his new foreign policy stance is really shifting to the United States. I mean, I got a copy of Yoon Suk-yeol's foreign policy and security policy titled "Confident Diplomacy and Strong National Security." That's the framework for his new policy, and it's really rests on the foundation of the strength of the ROC-US alliance. And while they're going to engage and try for better relations with China, I think it's clear that he is going to stand up to China. One of the topics of discussion during the election issue, of course, was China's economic warfare over the THAAD, deployment of the THAAD system. And Yoon came out quite forcefully and said he's going to request additional THAAD, which goes against the alleged three no's that allegedly Moon agreed to with Xi Jinping in 2017. No additional THAAD deployments, no integrated missile defense, and no trilateral alliance, ROC, U.S., and Japan. So Yoon says more THAAD. Whether we can deploy more, given the threats around the world, is another issue. But he certainly said that he will request additional systems.
Gordon?
Dave, how do the North Koreans view the election of Yoon?
Well, they made a they made one statement that I found, put elections in quotes, and recognized that Yoon won, but not a lot of talk about it. And I think to the North Koreans, it does not matter, because they are going to continue to treat South Korea with great disrespect, and they are still cleaning up from Moon's 2019 visit to Pyongyang, when he spoke to the Korean people in the north and undercut all of the regime propaganda against the south. Because despite the conservative criticism of his speech to the Korean people in the north, he was articulate, you know, very charming and logical. And the Korean people in the north thought that that Kim Jong-un should be able to make a deal with Moon Jae-in. And of course, he didn't. And from that point on, we've seen just tremendous propaganda effort to undermine South Korea. And I think he's going to continue to do that, because the regime really rests on trying to make North Korea superior over South Korea. And he won't make that mistake again, allowing a South Korean leader to speak to the Korean people.
David, there's been ambiguous activity around the nuclear test site in North Korea, a building here, a building there. That isn't what I want to pursue, because it's fog of, you know, North Korea. What I measure here is their thinking in Seoul, is their thinking in Pyongyang, that we can tell that Ukraine crisis is a demonstration that if you give up your nukes, they'll come for you. If you keep your nukes, they won't. Or is anybody drawing that conclusion?
Absolutely. I mean, that has been the analysis of you know, thinkers about North Korea for a long time, looking at Saddam Hussein, who didn't get nuclear weapons, and what happened, looking at Muammar Gaddafi, and he gave up his nuclear program, and what happened to him. And of course, Ukraine was really the first with the agreement in 1994, the Budapest Memorandum. Russia and the United States were supposed to provide security guarantees. And so I think it's clear that Kim Jong-un sees what happens. And we know from, I mean, their statements that you don't give up your nuclear weapons because they are critical to national security. And one point I would really like to emphasize, despite what Kim Jong-un said to Moon Jae-in and to Donald Trump, none of the Korean party policy papers, their constitution, their party charter say they will ever give up nuclear weapons. In fact, they say the exact opposite, that they are a nuclear state and nuclear weapons are key to survival. So I think that what's happening in Ukraine just reinforces the hardline view of Kim Jong-un and the necessity for keeping nuclear weapons. And so, like many of us have believed, the North will not give up nuclear weapons as long as the Kim family regime is in power.
Gordon?
Dave, Japan has enough plutonium for, let's say, 4,000 warheads. What is the Japanese attitude toward developing nuclear weapons?
I think that's, of course, very complex. They are the only ones to be on the receiving end of nuclear weapons. Their constitution still remains a pacifist constitution. Although I think we are seeing Japan start to break out of that shell. I don't think that they're anywhere near politically ready to start moving down that path. But you are right. Both Japan and South Korea are nuclear powers. I mean, they produce nuclear energy. They have the technical capabilities. And I think quickly both countries could develop nuclear weapons if they chose to. You know, they are far superior in terms of nuclear capabilities than North Korea. I think we forget that. You know, North Korea has focused on weaponizing nuclear power or, you know, nuclear material. But South Korea and Japan both have the capabilities. I just don't think Japan is quite politically ready. Although you know, if North Korea continues on its current path, develops an ICBM, continues to conduct nuclear tests, we might see attitudes change in Japan. Certainly, the right in Japan, I think, would like to pursue them. But I think the general public has yet to be swayed.
David, defensive alliances are the new. We know there's AUKUS in place now. We understand that there's the Quad. However, with the election, can we expect South Korea to be joining one of these defensive alliances against China? We have less than a minute.
Yes, I think so. You know, in President Moon's foreign affairs article last month, which he said South Korea has to step up, and he has talked about, and I think pretty clearly has said, you know, they've got to be part of these international alliances. And I expect that if he is asked, that he will pursue joining the Quad. You know, are we going to call it the Quint or some new name? But I think that he certainly favors that. And I expect that he will continue to pursue solid alliance diplomacy.
David Maxwell, he is a senior fellow for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone Newsweek in The Hill. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.